Well, I want you to turn to Ephesians 6. We're going to finish a message I actually started 3 weeks ago. I kind of stepped into it knowing it was going to take a few weeks. It's called Preparing for Revolution, and we'll get into that in a second. But I'm going to ask Nick, if you got somebody, we're going to hand out a couple of things to you starting next Monday. So not tomorrow, but a week from Monday. Go ahead, and you can hand them out. We are going to be starting a 21-day days of prayer and fasting. And so there's two things that are going to give you. I'm not going to read through the whole thing. One of them is really for you, if maybe you've not ever done much in the way of fasting. Maybe you have, but you kind of would enjoy knowing a little more about it. Just some practical guidelines and how to walk through it. That's this one here that says fasting guidelines. But I want you to look at the other one that says Revolutionaries for God, 21 days of pre-revolution fasting and prayer. And, you know, this is kind of the premise of what we believe God has been stirring in us and what he's doing, not just in us, but around our world. And Jesus, when he quoted out of the book of Isaiah, Luke chapter 4, verses 18 and 19, it's on the front, says, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." That is the revolution that we're talking about. Believing that God wants to so transform us that then as we walk that out, we will become his revolutionaries, his transforming agents wherever we go, whatever we're called to do. And so in this, you'll see again, just talks a little bit about fasting. What we're asking people to do is consider at least doing a Daniel fast. If you're not familiar with what a Daniel fast is there on the third page. It's fruits, vegetables, and water. So for some of you, that's going to be pretty severe. You go, wow, do that for 21 days? That's like pretty severe. And you may go, that's not possible. Here's what I want to challenge you. I want to challenge you to go places you've never gone before to believe that the Lord can take you there. Now, again, we say, hey, if there's dietary issues and reasons why physically you can't do that, then please don't. I mean, we don't want you to go against, you know, things doctors would tell you or anything like that. But if it's just because it'd be hard, I want to challenge you. And maybe you go, well, I don't know if I can go that far. Well, then maybe you say, hey, I'm going to fast, you know, breakfast and lunch and eat a light dinner or whatever. But I just want to, challenge you to go further than you ever have. It was 3 years ago. This same season that Pastor Ishtar and I felt the Lord calling us to go on a 40-day fast. And you have to understand, she had done at least a couple of 14-day fasts. I had never done more than a one-day fast. So that was like, I was like, okay, that's pretty crazy. And I mean, we're talking a fast of just like liquids, no food, nothing. And you can see, I'm not carrying a whole lot of extra weight here. So I was like, okay, God, and I was like, honestly, I didn't know that I could do it. But see, that's part of the whole idea, is I couldn't do it, but I knew that Christ in me could give me the strength. And I'm not standing up here and saying it was easy. It was not. I can say that I got through it, and I could say that coming out of it, God really revealed things to me that were profound. In it, maybe not as much, but certainly coming out of it, I dropped about 30 pounds, and that was not something I probably needed to drop. But you know what? The whole idea is, what am I willing to sacrifice from my flesh so that my spirit will be built up? And that's the idea of a fast. You know, if you're just not eating, then, you know, it's probably a diet. You know, I mean, it's why it's always fasting and prayer. It's actually taking that time and setting it aside to be with the Lord. If you're just saying, I'm just not going to eat this stuff, well then, you know, how is that different than anybody that says, oh, I just want to go on a fast to clean out my system, or I want to go on a fast because I want to lose some weight. You know, those are fine, but that's not what we're talking about. It's actually denying my flesh to honor my spirit. But understand that I just want to encourage you, pray about it. God may ask you to pull some stuff out of your life, maybe saying, take TV out, take movies out, take media out, take caffeine out, take sweets out. What are things that you kind of feed your flesh that then maybe they're not bad, but you're saying, you know what, I'm going to choose to deny myself in this area to honor God. And I know that God will not only honor it in your life, but you'll see it'll be powerful. So if you look in there too, there's just some different times. We're going to have a prayer on the back. It's going to be, there's 3 weeks that we're going to be doing this. So 3 weeks that we're going to be focused on three different areas. So hold on to that and be praying and saying, okay, God, what needs to shift in me? Because I want you to too even pray, what are things and areas in your life you'd like to see a breakthrough? Maybe there's someone close to you that you know they need to see a breakthrough in their life. They need to see something broken in their life. And you say, you know what, I'm gonna spend a lot of time committed to praying for them. So I'm excited about it. My flesh is not excited about it, but my spirit is. And as one of the things that Tian's going to bring up right now, our website, I felt for a while that God was calling me to do something which was not, it's not my natural tendency. It's to blog. Now, I know some of you, you're bloggers. I'm not. That's not the way I think, but I felt like God was challenging me. So I now have a blog. If you go to our website, can you go back to the homepage real quick? Just hit the gray street up at the top. And so if you go to the homepage, Wilford is working on this to get those icons up on the homepage. But right now, if you go to any of the sections up top, it could be messages, it could be updates, welcome. If you click on any of those, it'll bring up a page where you'll see all the little icons on the top right. Should come up here, where it's got Facebook, Twitter, etc. The far right one, it's Blogger. If you click on that, it'll bring up my blog. And that's the name of it, I Am a Revolutionary. If you go down, so you can either just go there, or if you'd like to actually have emails come when I put in a new blog, you can follow by email at the bottom. Put in your email, hit submit, and then when I put in a new blog. And one of the reasons I'm saying that is it's going to be one of the things I'm committing to do through, I don't know that I'll blog every day, but for the 21 days of our prayer and fasting, I'm committing to really seek God and put a blog out there that, Lord willing, will be encouraging to us as we're walking through it. So at least for the 21 days, you may want to go and check it out. Maybe after that, we'll see how that goes. But I feel there's a new discipline there that God is asking me to enter into. So take a part of that. Well, revolution. For me, it comes down to three little words. You can see it on all the stuff here where it says revolution. Hear, listen, obey. That is what we believe is the basic premise for spiritual revolution to happen in our life. And then that God can actually use us to be his revolutionaries wherever we are. It's very simple. If you're in Ephesians 6, I'm going to read these 10 verses again. I'm going to very quickly go over where we went the last 3 weeks and then dive in here because I got a lot of stuff I'm trying to cover today. Ephesians chapter 6, starting in verse 10, Paul writing says, "Finally be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with a breastplate of righteousness in place, with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. Pray also for me, that whenever I open my mouth, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should." You know, the first week we talked about what does it mean to be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. We're saying that we can't stand against the enemy in our own strength, in our own power. We have to be standing in the strength and the power of the Lord. So if you haven't been here for these messages, you can go online and listen to the previous weeks. But we looked in Mark chapter 16, 15 to 18. It's one of the places where the Great Commission is. And Jesus speaking and says, for those who believe, that's us, anyone who follows Jesus, commits to be him as our Lord, it says they will, it says these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name, they'll drive out demons. They'll speak in new tongues. They will place their hands on sick people and they will get well. says, for those who believe, that we'll walk in that kind of power, that kind of strength, that is by the power and the authority that we have in Christ. 2 weeks ago, we talked about what does it mean to stand against the strategies or the tricks of the enemy. We looked at 6 different ones. Again, I'm not going to go into them all, but a scheme, it's an underhanded plot that the enemy, one of his jobs, it says in 1 Peter 5:8-9, says, be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kind of suffering. He is like a roaring lion. He's roaming around looking for who he can take out. Who gets taken out? The weak ones, the ones that are outside the herd, the ones that are not engaged in the community. So that's who he's looking for. So it says if we're not really walking and connected with the Lord, if we're not connected with other believers, then we're just like that single little lamb cruising around out there that the lion has got his eyes on. Well, last Sunday, we talked about remembering who the enemy is. Verse 12 there, it says our struggle's not against flesh and blood. In other words, our fight's not with people, but it's against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Again, I'm not going to walk through all those again, but we fight against rulers. There are ruling spirits in every part of the country, every part of the world, wherever you go, because Satan can only be one place at one time. God's omnipresent. He can be everywhere at once. Satan can't be. He can only be one place. But he's got a whole bunch of, you know, evil spirits, demons that are hanging out with him. And so they have a hierarchy. So there are, just as there would be in a military, there are people that rule over certain parts of it. And so every area has rulers and ruling spirits. We fight against authorities. Authority deals with values. The value systems in our world. What are the values that we stand against? Hedonism, people seeking pleasure, rationalism, relativism, all of these different things that have become the thinking, humanism of the world that we live in, that we stand against those authorities, those values. But we speak truth. And I mentioned how God has really been challenging us that in situations to just speak the truth. We don't have to get in debates. We don't have to argue with people. We only have to speak the truth. Because it says what? Know the truth, who is Jesus Christ, and the truth will set you free. So as we speak that which is true, that which is God's word, it has a power unto itself that the Holy Spirit, which is the revealer of truth, can take that and bring that into people's lives and begin to work with it. The third one is we fight against the powers of this dark world. Power deals with control. Who are the people that control the things in our world? TV, music, internet, you know, so on and so forth. All the media that we deal with. What are those? Who controls that? Who has the power in that? And again, not the people. See, our fight is not with the people. It's with the powers that are going on behind it. I mentioned one of the things. Just 2 days ago was the 40th anniversary of Roe versus Wade, the law that was passed to make abortion legal in America. And since that day, 40 million babies have been killed in America. And again, do we take that out on the doctors and all the people that, you know, are a part of that? Well, we can stand against them in love, but bottom line is we need to be on our knees standing against the spirits that are at work there. Because again, what does Satan want to do? Steal, kill, and destroy. If he can take them out in the womb, he doesn't have to worry about them becoming an adult, right? And the fourth one, we fight against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly realms. There are evil people in our world, but understand our battle is not with the person, it's with the spirits at work behind them. We have to come to the place to believe and understand that the reality is the spiritual realm. Because at some point, we're all going to become dirt food, right? We're all going to become worm food. We're all going to be 6 feet under. But guess what? What lives on? My spirit will live forever. This fleshly tent will be broken down at some point in time. But my spirit is eternal. So if something's eternal, would that not be the bigger reality? I would say that this world is the sub-reality. The spiritual realm is the reality, but Satan has done well because he has convinced us that because we can touch something, because we can feel it, we can taste it, we can smell it, that's reality. But every one of those things will go away. The only thing that lasts forever is our spirit. So now jumping into where we're going today. This is point 3 in kind of the whole context of the message, and it's putting on your fighting clothes. You know, Paul says, put on the full armor of God. And he says, then you'll be able to stand. How many of you ever played paintball? Anybody ever played paintball? Oh yeah, man, we should go. We should go do paintball, man. Paintball is a blast. Last May, one of my buddies, who pastors a church in Southern California, we were going to be out there, so he had me come and speak at their men's retreat, and it was up in the mountains. And as part of it, they had paintball, and I love playing paintball, so it was like, oh, awesome. Well, what was really awesome was like I probably shot more people than everybody else that was up there. So it's like they gained a new respect for, the pastor. It's like, but it's so much fun. But when you go out there, you don't dress in shorts and a t-shirt. I don't care. It was hot outside. No. You got on long pants. You got on long sleeves. You got on a face mask. You got something covering your Adam's apple. I mean, you got stuff on. Cause even though it's not a bullet, they hurt. I mean, they hurt pretty good, and depending on where they get hit. So understand, that's just a game. But when we go into engaging it, we make sure we're wearing the right stuff. Well, we're talking about spiritual warfare. We're just talking about standing in opposition to Satan and his kingdom. So it's important that you get dressed right. I don't know how many of you remember the original Indiana Jones movie, the Raiders of the Lost Ark, but there was the one scene where he's just gone through everything. He's barely survived. I mean, it's just been crazy. And he's exhausted, just beat up. And then all of a sudden, the clearing opens up, and there's standing this massive guy with this huge old sword, and he just starts, like, whipping it around. And Harrison Ford just, like, he's looking, he's going, you've got to be kidding. But this guy's doing this impressive stuff with the sword, and what does he do? He just pulls out his gun and goes, poof. See, as impressive as the guy was with the sword, it wasn't a sword fight, it was a gun fight. And so understand that when we come up against the enemy, we got to be prepared. If you don't show up prepared, you're going to get the stuffing knocked out of you. So we don't stand in ourselves, we stand in that which Christ has done for us. I want to show, and this is it takes a few minutes, but I think it's worth it, is that because he says here, when we put on the full armor of God so that when you've done everything, you'll stand. I want us to watch just a couple of video clips. Are we good? And we're going to watch these clips, and they kind of deal with this whole thing of standing.
Great moments are born of great opportunity. That's what you have here. That's what you earned here tonight. One game. If we played them 10 times, they might win 9. But not this game. Not tonight. You were meant to be here tonight. Their time is done. It's over.
My name is Maximus Decimus Meridius, commander of the armies of the North, general of the Felix Legions, loyal servant to the true emperor, Marcus Aurelius, father to a murdered son, husband to a murdered wife, and I will have my vengeance. This life
was
next.
The bravest in any fight, it's the guy who's willing to die who's going to win that itch. And I know if I'm going to have any life in it, it's because I'm still willing to fight and die for that itch. Because that's what living is. The sensation.
What will you do without freedom? Will you fight?
Against that? No! We will not! We will let fight if you may die. Run! Kill them! At least a while.
betray all my men from this day to last. But one chance, just one chance, to come back here and tell our enemies that they may take our lives, but they'll never take our freedom!
There's something when Paul is saying, put on the full armor of God, and when you've done everything, stand. And this is the kind of stand. It's not this standing with our hands in our pockets, hoping that nobody comes this way. No, it's standing, as he said, hold the line with this aggressive stance. We are moving forward. Jesus said that I will build the church and the gates of hell will not prevail. And as I'm sure most of you have heard, gates don't move. It means we're pushing the gates of hell back. That's what we're called to do. That's how we're called to stand. That's what it looks like. Sometimes we have this passive idea of Christianity, but again, it's not violent towards people. It's violent towards things of the Spirit. Because if we understand that Satan's trying to take you out, if you knew that a person was trying to destroy you or your family, would you get upset? I think most of us would. We would probably do whatever it took to defend ourselves. But yet spiritually, that's exactly what Satan is trying to do. And many of us, we become very passive. Well, you know, I don't want to ruffle anybody's feathers. Well, I'm not here to ruffle anybody's feathers, but I am here to push back the kingdom of darkness. I am here to stand for the things that God calls us to, even if some people don't like that. How many of you know that nothing in life will ever happen if you're worried about what everybody thinks? Nothing. You will never be successful at anything in your life. I don't care if you're a 10-year-old kid and want to have a lemonade stand. Or you're a 50-year-old and you want to start a business. Or you're a college student and you want to stand up in your class for what is true. There is always a cost. No one has ever experienced freedom of any kind without a cost. What was our cost? Jesus Christ hung on a cross and died that you and I could be free. The Son of God gave His life for us. That should compel us, not out of guilt, not out of shame, but out of love to say, I want to live a life that's worthy of that kind of gift. We can't stand our ground because of our own strength. Because here's the truth. Satan and the powers of darkness are not afraid of you and I. But they have been defeated by the Spirit of Christ in us. Greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. When Moses was out in the wilderness and God showed up to him in the burning bush and he said, Moses, I want you to go back to Egypt and I want you to set my people free. And Moses said, okay, when I go to Pharaoh, who do I tell him who sent me? And he simply said, I am. What was he saying? He says, I am. Pharaoh, you were born and you will die. Every person on the face of this earth was born and they will die. But he says, I am. I always have been. I always will be. I've always existed. Guess what? When we stand in his power, we'll win. Because there is no other power next to him. How many of you have ever seen one little ant crawling on the floor and you just like said, dude, I can't ever go back there? That's crazy! Ah! There's an ant! Now, if there were thousands of ants, some of you might trip out a little bit. But I have never in my life been afraid of one ant. I don't care where I saw it. I might have seen it crawling on my hand. Why? Because comparatively, that ant has absolutely no power over me. Now imagine, that's a bad analogy, but you can get the picture, God and Satan. See, sometimes we almost think like Satan's just almost there with God. No, I mentioned this a couple weeks ago, that I think what happened when Lucifer stood up and stood in God's face and said, I can be God, that God didn't even respond. He just went, and Jesus said, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heavens to the earth. God is so much more powerful than Satan. It isn't even, there is no comparison. But I think that's a pretty good comparison of me and an ant. And I don't care how weak you see yourself, that ant's nothing. See, we got to understand, in Christ, when we walk in the strength that we have in Christ, that's how Satan sees us. The demonic spirit looks at us, they see Jesus. You know, it's kind of like the little kid that was there. He was about ready to get his head beat in by the bullies. And he's like yelling and screaming and trying to make all kinds of noise. And all of a sudden, they take off running. He's like, yeah, take that. Then he turns around and he sees his big brother was standing right behind him. So you understand that Satan's not afraid of you. He's not afraid of me, but Jesus put him in his place, defeated him, not beat him up, defeated him once and for all. So when we stand in his strength, there's no battle. There is no fight. I can see right now I'm not getting very far where I was planning to go. But this is good. Paul said, put on the full armor of God. And what we need to realize is the armor is Jesus. You know, we're going to go through it, but you look at it. The armor is Jesus. It said, put on the belt of truth. Whose truth? Jesus. Your feet will be fitted with the readiness of the gospel of peace. Whose peace? Jesus. Jehovah Shalom. It says, pick up the breastplate of righteousness. Who's our righteousness? Jesus Christ. Put on the helmet of salvation. Who's our salvation? Jesus. Pick up the sword of the Spirit. Who is the Word of God? Jesus. Every part of the armor of God is Jesus. He said, simply put Jesus on. Why? Same reason I just told you, because Jesus has already done Satan's number. He's got nothing. See, David, and probably all of us know the story of David and Goliath. I think everybody in the world kind of knows it. Because you'll even see in advertising things, they'll present the little guy as David and the big guy as Goliath. They take this biblical truth and make it some, you know, whatever, cliche ad. But the truth of it is, there's this young little boy named David who knows who God is. And all the army of Israel is terrified because of this giant named Goliath. So when David shows up to bring some food to his older brothers, he hears Goliath defying God and all of the army of Israel. He says, what's the big deal? I mean, he's looking at the military guys. Now imagine in your context, or in this context, there's a bunch of Marines, you know, a whole unit of Marines sitting around, maybe even better than that. Navy SEALs are all sitting there. Texas Rangers, you know, they're all there. I mean, Army Rangers. And they're all there. And some 13-year-old kid walks up and go, okay, what are you guys letting these guys, you know, in Afghanistan mess with you? You know, what's the deal? He goes, I can take them. I mean, you think about that and you go, how arrogant, right? Well, that's what this little kid comes up and they're terrified. And he goes, what's the big deal? I'll take him out. And that's exactly their response. Who do you think you are? Everybody here is afraid of him. Who do you think you are? He goes, hey, you know, I watch the sheep. And, you know, when a bear tries to take the sheep, I take down the bear. When a lion tries to take the sheep, I take out the lion. What's the difference? And so King Saul hears about it. He goes, okay, this kid's willing to go. And he tries to put his armor on him. But see, it was the armor that was fitted for the king. The king, by the way, did not go into battle. The king stood back. As often happened was the case, the king put on his armor, but he didn't actually fight. Who knows if he ever fought in it? And David says, I can't fight like this. Because I've not come to fight in the natural. I've come to fight in the spiritual. Because he's defying God. And so what did David do? He just pulls out his sling, goes and fives five little smooth rocks out of the river. And I love this. When he's facing Goliath, Goliath is laughing. Who are you? You think I'm a dog? You send me a stick? And David, this is how confident he was in God. He began to run. See, I love it. He wasn't afraid because he knew who God was. He knew he wasn't fighting on his behalf. He was fighting on God's behalf. This is what we've got to get. We do not fight on our own behalf. If we do, we're done. But no, we fight in the power of God within us. That which has already taken place. And he begins to run at Goliath. And he's yelling at him the whole time. He goes, today, I'm taking off your head. I mean, there was no trepidation. There was no fear. There was confidence. And the second he let go of that rock, he knew where it was going and he knew what it was going to do. Why? Because our confidence needs to be who Christ is in us, not ourselves. We undersell God all the time because we make it about us. Well, God, I mean, I can't do this. I can't do that. Well, if it was about you, you're done already. If it was about me, we're all in trouble. But it's about the power that lives in me. It says that raised Christ from the dead. So guess what? It's not a big deal. Not if I stand in that confidence. Not if I stand in that power, in that strength. See, I love the movie Braveheart. Many of you know that scene. Even some of you heard me do that before. But see, I love that in that time, combat was hand-to-hand combat. They didn't stand way back and, you know, shoot missiles. Like today we got drones and we got all kinds of high-tech stuff that, you know, people don't always have to be in the equation. But back then there was no other way of fighting. It was hand-to-hand combat. So when you put on your armor, it was not to look good. It was a matter of life and death. It was what you had to do to prepare for battle. And this is a better description. Because Paul is, you know, when he writes this, he is handcuffed between two Roman soldiers in a dungeon in Rome. So when he's writing this, he's looking at two Roman soldiers. And this is what they're wearing. He wasn't making this stuff up. It was sitting right there next to him every single day, wherever he went. Went this Roman soldier in his armor. And Roman soldiers were always dressed in their armor. Why? That's how they virtually took over the world. Armor was never meant to be something that you look at. It was imperative for going into battle. I think sometimes as believers, we think it's an option. You know, this is kind of violent stuff. I don't like the violent stuff, so I'll just kind of push that to the side. Well, it's not about violence. It's about not just survival. It's about living in the freedom that we have been given in Christ and helping to set others free. As I read the verses out of Luke chapter 4 that Jesus read out of Isaiah 61, that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He's anointed me to preach good news, proclaim freedom for the prisoners, sight for the blind, release the oppressed. This is what we're talking about. This is what we're called to do. And do you think that Satan is just going to let that happen? He does not want anybody to be free. Not you, not me, not anybody. If he has people in bondage, he wants to keep them there. If there are things in your life that have the hold on you, he wants to keep them there. He doesn't want you to be free. He doesn't want you to be free. He wants to hold you down. So number one, you can't be free, and you can't help anybody else get free if you're not free. I mean, let's be honest. If you're not free, how do you help somebody else get free? Well, you know, if I could get these handcuffs off myself, boy, I'd really like to help you. Until we're actually free of the bondages in our life, then how can Christ use us to see other people set free? I'm going to actually stop here, and that's okay. We're going to roll into next week because I think there's something so powerful. And like even why we're doing this t-shirt, somebody say, oh, what is that? Well, I really believe it's something the Lord put in my spirit because we have a culture that they love the ideas of revolutionaries named like Che Guevara, Fidel Castro. They'll worship people that, quote, are revolutionaries in this kind of strange cultural sense. But we serve the revolutionary because what he calls us to separates eternity, heaven from hell. And let me tell you, that is a more important battle than any other battle. To be free spiritually is the main thing. Everything else comes out of it. And that's what we're called to. And is that a revolution? Yeah, it is, because it is contrary to human understanding. It's contrary to human thinking. It's contrary to the way we go about everything. You don't believe me, man? Pick up the Gospels and start reading what Jesus said. Jesus made it clear. Jesus did not mince words. Sometimes we make Jesus out to be this meek and mild guy who never ruffled anything, did anything. No, this is the guy who went into the temple overthrowing tables and whipping people out of the temple because he says, you have turned my father's house of prayer into a den of thieves. He didn't kind of just come up to the table and go, oops. He tore that place up. Why? Because it was righteous indignation and anger for what they had done to God's house. When he saw the Pharisees and what they had done to the people, he got angry. He said, you hypocrites, you whitewashed tombs. You're nice on the outside and full of dead bones. Let me tell you, that may not mean much to you. In their culture, those were fighting words. When he said what he said, he knew exactly what he was saying. When he said, I am, he wasn't just making a statement. He was saying, I am God. And that's why they said they picked up rocks and wanted to stone him right there on the spot. This is who we've been called to follow. He is not here to take out people. He's here to take out spirits so that people can follow him. This is what we're challenged to. This is what we're called to. Is it easy? No. Is it worthwhile? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. There is nothing greater than to see people set free, to see people walk in the knowledge of what it means to know Jesus Christ and be free. It says, know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Would you close your eyes and bow your heads for a minute? I believe that there's something going on that some of us are sensing, some of us are not even sensing. But it's a spiritual thing. It's a spiritual battle. And if you have acknowledged Jesus as the Lord and Savior of your life, then you've engaged in this battle. Now the question is whether or not we will actually fully get in. Say, I'm in. That I'm yours, no matter what. No matter what the cost. No matter what the sacrifice. My encouragement, my challenge to us is that we would be what Jesus said, we would hear, we would listen, we would obey. That He would be our commander-in-chief. He would be in control of our life. That we would submit everything to Him. Our hopes, our dreams, even our callings, even our visions, even our own stuff, whatever it is. We'd say that it's not mine. As Jesus Himself prayed, not my will, but Your will be done. That's a big prayer. Lord Jesus, I believe that You have called us into a revolution. But it's a spiritual revolution. It's to see people set free. It's to see people walk in the reality of being forgiven for their sins and knowing that they are alive in Christ. Lord, there's a lot of parts of it that are not an easy message. But God, they're the words of life. May something stir within us that would not say, oh, I'm just going to take the easier way out, or you know, He's just a God of love, so He wouldn't call me to do anything that's going to be uncomfortable. Lord, Your word is just not, that's not who You are. Over and over again, You called each and every one of us to follow after You. It says that we must deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow You if we want to be known as Your disciples. There is no easy road. But it's a road that is paved with righteousness, forgiveness, eternal life with You. So God, may things stir in our spirit to say we are to do everything, to put on the whole armor of God that we can stand our ground. And when we've done everything, let us stand. Lord, that's what You call us to. That's what Your desire is for us. May that be what happens in our lives. We pray it in Your name, Jesus. Amen.